Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Great.
I was just doing something fun. Yeah, as I was waiting for the show to start, I was doing the write-up for a retreat that I'm going to be participating in Maya Tulum, Mexico, in November.
Wow.
And as I was writing about it, I got very excited about it. I'm really glad I'm going.
Great.
Yeah, it sounds, I think it's going to be wonderful. I've never been to Maya Tulum, and I've never been to that part of Mexico at all. And so it sounds gorgeous, and I think it's going to be a great deal of fun. So anybody out there, it's going to take us a few days to get it up on the web, but then check it out. Of course, they could check out Maya Tulum before our retreat write-up goes up on the web. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good time.
Great. I've heard great things about Maya Tulum.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And yourself?
I'm good. It's a hot day here.
It is a hot day in California, isn't it?
It's a hot day in California.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any different for a little while, so we just have to enjoy sweating.
Yes.
You know, that's an old Zen saying. I'm sure you know that.
You know, I was just thinking. I don't know if it's the old Zen saying if we're thinking of the same one, but let's hear you.
The old Zen saying, when it's hot, we sweat. When it's cold, we shiver.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Above all, don't whine.
Above all, don't whine.
I made that part up. That's not part of the old Zen saying, but it could be.
The one I was thinking of is, it's the twos that will kill you.
Yes, it's the
twos. It's too hot, it's too cold, I'm too busy.
Yep, I'm too tired, there's too much. Yep, it's the twos.
Yes, great. And if people want to find out more about Maya Tulum and everything that you're up to, they can go to livingcompassion.org.
Yes.
And check on the schedule there. And I just wanted to highlight a couple of events that you'll be doing that are coming up soon in the Bay Area. Sherry, you'll be in Sebastopol, California on Saturday, July 30th.
I will be, and apparently that's a little known fact. I think it's not on the web. Nobody knows it exists. So, you know, people who are in the area should come. I think it might be intimate.
Great.
Yeah, just a couple of us there spending the day.
Great. Sebastopol, for people who don't know, is near Santa Rosa, which is in probably Marin County or just north of Marin.
Somewhere right like that. We just learned that there are two Sebastopols in California.
Two
who would have
Sebastopols?
Thought? Yeah, that's somebody wrote and said, which one is it?
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
Is that the right one, the one near Santa Rosa?
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm going.
Okay, that's
so
good.
I don't know where this event is actually scheduled, but I'm going to be going to that one.
That's good, because I want to go to a Sherry Huber retreat, so if
good.
It's the right Sebastopol, then that's
very
probably
good. Yeah, and then an easier location to find the next month, huh?
Yes.
In San Francisco. Yeah.
Workshop on Saturday, August 20th, called Radical Self-Acceptance. Be in San Francisco, and again on the Living Compassion website, livingcompassion.org. You can sign up for it there and find out everything else that we're up to.
Yeah, and you know, that's my theme right now is radical self-acceptance and unconditional self-acceptance, because of course the new CD set from Sounds True. But I want to reassure people that no two of them are alike. Now, in a certain sense, they're all alike, because it's awareness practice, and awareness practice is pretty simple and straightforward. But if people have done a workshop called Unconditional Self-Acceptance or Radical Self-Acceptance, they don't want to think, oh, I've done that, because we do different things every time.
Yes.
It's just that's the theme. It's kind of like if we did paying attention. You know, we could do 100 workshops on paying attention, and they would all be completely different because, again, in a certain sense, paying attention is very simple and straightforward, and it's one thing, but the application is endless.
Yes, yes, yes. And in my experience, if no matter the title, they're all a process of deepening the practice.
Yes.
And seeing what I'm aware of now.
That's right. Seeing who showed up for this one.
Yeah.
And what that person is up to, and how, what, where, how, where I am now is leading me towards suffering or away from suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a, you know, awareness practice is a moment by moment by moment thing. So, if we want to be aware in every moment of our lives, then that's what we need to do. And the best way to do that, for at least for everybody I know, is to be around people who are attempting to wake up and in suffering, or attempting to be present in the moment, however we want, attempting to pay attention. And so it doesn't actually matter what we do. The helpful thing is the support for being present.
Yes, yes.
So we could all get together, actually, and do the same thing every day.
Yes.
It's called monastic practice.
and
it doesn't matter whether we're sitting on a cushion, or we're working in the garden, or we're cooking, or we're in a conversation. The point is, everything that we're doing is with the purpose of waking up and ending suffering.
Yes, yes. And I'd like to give just my own little plug for Radical Self-Acceptance and the workshops that I've been to, because when I go, I get a sense of, you mean this? You mean really, really this? I can, this really awful part about myself, I can accept that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's really great.
Yes. And, of course, that is exactly what we're saying. And, you know, one of my favorite Zen lines, all that's required is that we accept that which is totally unacceptable to us.
Yes.
So that the only thing standing between us and the freedom and joy that we suspect is available to us, and that we are interested in having, is what we cling to not accepting.
Yes.
So I would be happy if only this were different about me. I could enjoy myself if only I were different in this way. I would like my life if only I could fix that about myself. And it's not those things about me or about my life that are a problem. The difficulty is in the process of holding something unacceptable, making something unacceptable, and focusing my energy on that. So, you know, the way we usually talk about it is, if I'm going to be focused on what's wrong, then that's the life experience I'm going to have. So it doesn't really matter what's going on. If I identify something as what's wrong and I put all of my attention on that, I'm going to have a miserable life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we get it, that it's letting go of that process of making things wrong and unacceptable, you know, when we get it, that process is what's holding our suffering in place, then we can drop that, and poof, we're exactly where we want to be. We don't have to do anything else. Just stop making things, stop holding things outside of compassionate acceptance.
Yes, yes. Wonderful.
It is, isn't it?
It's
a grand and glorious thing.
Yes, and simple, as you said.
It's very simple.
Simple and endlessly deep.
Yeah.
Yes, in my experience.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Sherry, I have good news.
I bet somebody called.
We have two callers waiting. I'd like to welcome Michael from Menlo Park. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Michael.
I called today to deliver a message.
Aha!
I was out walking this morning, and I make it a habit to wear one of my Bridgewalk T-shirts.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And today I had on the one from year before last, and it says on the back, Zimbabwe AIDS Orphans Project.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking along, and perfectly oblivious, and suddenly I hear this voice from behind me say, "Excuse me." And I turn around, and it's a big, tall guy with red hair, and he said, "I just noticed the back of your T-shirt." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm from South Africa." And he wanted to know what was going on with the T-shirt. So I gave him 30 seconds on Zimbabwe and Zambia, and he seemed very interested. And as we parted, he said, "Keep up the good work." So that's the message.
Isn't that great? You know, as you know, since you have those T-shirts, people come to the Bridge Walk and they pay, I think it's $35, and they have lunch and snacks and they get a T-shirt.
Yep.
And sometimes people will say, "I don't want a T-shirt. I just want the money to go to the project." And we say, "No, it's very important that you have a T-shirt." T-shirts are really... It's a huge piece of what we're doing. And that's the proof of it right there. Now you met somebody from South Africa and you've made this connection, and who knows where it'll lead.
And as we parted, I said, I gave him the web address. I said,
yes.
www.livingcompassion.com. And I also said, I'm campaigning to have our web address put on the T-shirts this year. And I sent an email to Living Compassion already and said, put it on the back. I think we need to put it on the back and the front.
Back and the front. Exactly. Put it everywhere. We'll get tattoos.
On the sleeves, maybe.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Okay. That's all I called to say.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And as Michael pointed out, the web address is livingcompassion.org. So if you have any questions or curiosity, please go there. Check it out. Our phone number today, if you'd like to join our conversation, is toll-free. The number is 877-514-7300. The phone lines are open here. And we have another caller. I'd like to welcome Diane and Jose. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Hi, Diane.
Well, I'm kind of nervous about calling. I haven't before, so.
Well,
hello.
That you're very courageous. Let's stop and acknowledge that for just
Thank
a moment.
You. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, what I wanted to talk about was I'm noticing a new skill, and that is there are some things that I just kind of fall asleep about.
Uh-huh.
And then it seems like it causes me a lot of suffering because there's some things that I don't want to do so much I kind of fall asleep about it. Like one of them is just not checking things out with other people when there's some like other elements involved. So what I've been noticing lately is like there's a certain kind of a static when I think about doing something, and then I kind of fall asleep about it. So I'm just kind of noticing, and I'm just kind of calling it the hardest thing. So I'll just think, well, what's the hardest thing? And
uh-huh.
then just knowing what it is, not like, oh, I must do this or not, but just like knowing what it is.
Uh-huh. Now that is really... big, isn't it? So you get this static, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this little, I'm picturing a kind of a, just a little buzz or a little something. There's some sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And
the periphery of consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. And before it was unconscious, right? Now, because you've been paying attention, you're bringing it into conscious awareness.
Right.
And you've realized that it's that little staticky thing that is the signal for your system that you're supposed to go to sleep now.
Right.
Yeah. And that going to sleep at that very moment is the thing that holds the karma in place.
Maybe, yeah. It seems like things would be different. Or it just seems like it's just good to take a look at that. Do I want to not call so-and-so about following up on something that they promised me?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I can't do it right now. Maybe I can do it later.
That's right. But you're going to look at it and make a conscious choice, a conscious decision about it, rather than letting conditioned mind put you to sleep and then wake you up somewhere down the line when something unfortunate has happened as a result of you sleeping through this part of the program.
Right, or missing out.
Yeah.
And so sometimes with this, like today, this morning I woke up so anxious because there's somebody I needed to talk to about something. It's just the kind of thing that I avoid and just don't want to do. So I just kind of woke up worrying, and then I just thought, well, you know, today at 10 o'clock, let me just see if I can call this person because maybe it will be easier next time. Or let me just see what happens at 10.
Yeah.
So at 10 today, I kind of said, well, you know what, it's time now. Let me just go do it and see what happens. And then I did, and it was fine. And then so I wanted to kind of just be with that because I don't know really how to get that into the cellular level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say, you know what, really, that kind of thing isn't a big deal.
Right.
No need to get so panicky.
Yeah. Well, you see, I think you have done the hardest work in this, and that is bringing that signal that was supposed to put you to sleep into your conscious awareness so that that same signal now brings you awake. Because now that you're awake, you have this technique. Okay, all right, what do I want to do? Now, you know, you can add the extra little element of, I need somebody who likes to talk to people, likes to take care of business, likes to, you know, whatever that would be for you, however you would want to frame that. And then you find that part of your personality who wants to make that phone call. And you get that person to make the phone call, not the person, you know, who wants to wake up in the morning and go, oh, no, I have to call that person. And that person, you know, that one who wakes up just wants to pull the covers up over her head.
Well, the frightened part. So I don't want to be into this. I can really get into this. One of my manifestations of self-help, as I call it, like this mad dad personal trainer who's like, yeah, you should be doing these things. So I don't want to turn it into, here's the list of things I should be doing. I don't want it to be like that.
No.
Like, what am I kind of afraid to do?
Yes.
What am I not doing that,
yes.
that I'm avoiding?
And who can mentor someone to be able to do that, to be able to take care of it? Because, you know, it's my theory that we have an aspect of the personality. Every one of us has an aspect to our personality that is perfect for everything that life calls upon us to do.
Mm.
We just have to get that person who's right for that job to do the job.
Yes, it seems like if you're centered, you're not identified with the voice saying, this is horrifying, or the part,
exactly.
or the sensations that you then identify, oh, this is horrifying, let's not do anything.
Right.
But yet it seems like if you're centered, you could kind of pluck that out. So maybe this is just a baby step in identifying this is just the kind of thing that you fall apart with.
Yeah, I think that this is huge. It's going to signal you, whoa, okay, I know where that used to take me. Now I know that this signal says, wake up, there's something we need to handle.
And or maybe not. This is just something, a big freak out. So let's just, this, you know, because I'm thinking if I think it that way, I don't want to twist it into, you know, like, yeah, you've got to do something.
Oh, no, not you have to do it. But I'm being put to sleep here.
Yeah.
So this is something I need to take a look at.
Yeah, someone's falling asleep.
Yeah. And so instead of falling asleep, we want to really wake up and see who needs to be the person to handle this particular moment in life.
So how can one get to that other level? Is like with posture, maybe just moving like more, like changing, I'm just getting the sense maybe physical posture is related to this.
Oh, well,
you know, and
that.
They talk a lot about the center of the, like, they really, like, our posture in sitting practices, our hands are placed in a way so that we can be focused on the center of our bodies.
I think that is a fascinating direction to take. See, when you come to like that, oh, this is a place where in the past I went to sleep.
Yep, I'm just going to fall apart around this.
Yep, now I'm here. Okay, come back to the breath and come back to the body and maybe sit up a little bit straighter and take an attitude of respect for this moment, this big moment. Now we're, you know, I'm going to be conscious in this area that I've previously been unconscious. So what is necessary here? So you may sit up straighter, you may stand up. You may decide that you want to walk outside and take a nice big breath of fresh air. just I think that's a really fun place to experiment.
Yeah, and I'm noticing in my sitting practice just now, usually I just want to sit and pay attention and pay attention and pay attention, but it's coming lately because there are just things that are really hard to do, and that someone thinks could be better, that just to sit and surrender and just go, this is what's going on, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fine the way it is.
Uh-huh. And in life, we are often called upon to move. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have to.
And it's all
better.
Of course, in Zen, you know, there's actually the label for the person who wants to just sit and face the wall. And we're discouraged from quietism because it can be tempting to deal with life by not interacting with life.
Well, I'm so clear that this is a really trippy idea, but the notion that maybe seeking this peaceful, harmonious life, that maybe by going toward what I'm revolted by, I can get behind this dualism. And maybe these catastrophes are great because I get a chance to not spend my life avoiding catastrophes.
Yeah.
And then I can kind of be with, like, maybe there's something, a big empty field that is so much broader and
yes,
vast than that.
Yeah. And for me, the secret in what you're in this place that you're exploring right now is accepting what life gives us.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't have to go out and track down horrible things to face.
No.
Nor do we want to hide out from what somebody wants to call horrible.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Well, let us know, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We'll be right back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, the phone lines are busy here.
Very good.
Very good. I'd like to welcome Ingrid from Berkeley. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Ingrid.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi. I don't know if you remember me.
I do, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy. Yes, so I called back.
Good.
Good. Yeah. It's yes. What do I say? It's always funny to me as I wait for my, you know, I don't know. I can't get this big dread in my chest. Like, no, don't let me be on the show. You know, I called and I'll do that part. But it's like, okay. Well, anyway, I'm here, I guess. So,
You know, one of my favorite book titles of all time.
Yeah.
And I wish that I had come up with it, but mm-hmm. I didn't. Feel the fear mm-hmm. and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's that experience, isn't it? There's all that stuff
yes.
going on in the body.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just keep breathing, and
mm-hmm.
here we are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It
doesn't stop
amazing.
Us from anything. It's just,
yeah
it's just yeah. a lot of sensation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really could feel that. I mean, I could very much feel the visceral feelings in my body that was
mm-hmm.
like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
hang up the phone, you know, and get away.
Right. Which is funny, isn't it? Because
yes.
there's actually nothing about those sensations in the body that mean I need to stop what I'm doing and run in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I think about that regularly. A friend of mine, as a matter of fact, just went up to Lake Tahoe to jump out of an airplane for the first time. And you know, I mean, those feelings go with that experience, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And people do it because they find all that sensation in the body really thrilling, really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know. I think I'm more in your club on that one.
Yeah.
but it is just kind of a, you know, how we frame it. They're the same sensations. Do I want to do whatever it is? Then it's exciting, and I love that feeling because it means I'm really alive and I'm doing what I want to do, and this is so thrilling.
Yeah.
Or is it something that I'm being told it somehow is not enjoyable, or it's dangerous or threatening, and so it means I need to stop. And and it's really just sensations in the body.
Wow. Well, you know, that's a good lead-in for, I guess there were a couple things I was thinking of talking about, but one is that, speaking of fear, I have a tremendously huge phobia flying in an airplane, and I've avoided it for 6 years, and now I'm going to be flying in a couple days, and I mean, I don't know exactly, I'm not sure what I'm asking for, it's just that, I mean, I know just a tremendous amount of fear comes up, and
you'll probably actually sleep on the plane, right? Because in anticipation of it, you're not able to sleep because the anxiety, you know, wakes you up.
Yeah. You mean on the airplane?
Yeah. You'll be so tired from being anxious and not being able to sleep ahead of time. You get on the plane and just pass out.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yes.
Is it a long flight, short flight?
There's a layover, so it's short comparatively. For me, it's longer than I've ever. I can only like do an hour, and then it is an extremely amazing experience of just getting tremendous amount of body, just like so much fear. It's intense, you know.
Yes.
And it is a very visceral. I can feel it, but it's also like so desperately wants to get out of that airplane. You know, it's like. Get me on the ground.
Yes, a kind of panic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like being claustrophobic, that hysterical kind of feeling that arises. Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you planning to practice your breathing techniques?
No, I wasn't sure on what, you know. I guess I was planning on taking some restful herbs beforehand to relax me. But I hadn't thought specifically about breathing techniques.
Because it's such a glorious opportunity for awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really focusing on the breath, making, you know, they say, and it is my experience, although when you make these kinds of wild statements, who knows, that it's impossible to be stressful while exhaling. So focusing on the breath in that way.
Yeah.
Actually, not the way we do in meditation of just allowing the breath to be whatever it is, but actually kind of exerting some influence over it so that the breaths are really long and full and that you keep practicing putting your attention down there on the hara, you know, below the navel, and then feeling the sensations move around in your body. And then watching when you lose it completely as you get into a story,
right?
And then bring it back and feel the body calm down when you're able to stay focused. I mean, by the time it's over, if you do it with that kind of conscious awareness, you will have not a doubt anywhere in you that all of life's difficulties and problems are because of the story that we're living in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're perfectly fine, and then there's the, oh, my God. Yeah, you're miserable.
Right. Yeah, it is an amazing, I've just noticed that in the past, that when in that situation is so extreme that the stories are very intense and they grab on right away and they're just very extreme.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, and, of course, you know, my whole thing in life is self-hatred. And I can't think of anything more hateful than putting somebody in a situation like that or finding somebody in a situation like that and then telling them terrifying stories.
Oh, God.
It is so outrageously cruel.
Yeah.
So just, again, if you really watch, when the next time you encounter the term self-hatred, you'll go, yeah, that's right. It is really hateful.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, anything else going on?
Well, the most salient thing, I guess, was as I was waiting on the phone and listening to you talking to the previous person. What I also noticed were these feelings of dread coming up, but they were also feeling like, oh, it's so complex, and there's all this stuff to figure out, and oh, all these different subpersonalities and voices, and feeling a sort of dread of like, my goodness, there's so many kind of steps to climb to get somewhere, and you know, I kind of was definitely entering that kind of whatever space and noticing that happening as I'm kind of, you know, approaching and doing this work.
Yes.
And that coming up a
Yes.
lot.
And, of course, you know I'm going to say that the whole point of that is conditioned mind saying, oh, my God, she's liable actually to do it.
She's what?
She's liable actually to do it. So let's get her stopped right now.
Yes.
Because, you know, anything that we do that's like that, a few years ago I was in Florence and Firenze and climbed to the top of the whatever it is there. And it's a lot of doggone steps.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not a single moment of, oh, no, how many steps are there?
Uh-huh.
See, because I loved every second of it. I'm in this ancient building. You know, everything around me is beautiful. I get to look out over this incomparably beautiful city, and I'm going to be at the top, and I'm going to have this just outrageous view. There we have it. If we approached life in that way, if it weren't conditioned, if it weren't for conditioned mind telling us horror stories about how awful it's all going to be, what could be more interesting than learning everything that it's possible to learn about you? You know, I mean, we're all a little self-centered. So here you are. You have the opportunity to learn every little detail about you.
Yeah.
Now, how is that ever going to be boring or hard or overwhelming or...
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. What is it? Is it... Yeah, I mean, I would think it would appeal to that part of me that would love to learn all about myself. And maybe it's when I'm hearing about somebody else talk about their thing... I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you my opinion, and that is that conditioned mind does not like to be scrutinized. It does what it does behind the scenes. It controls you by making you afraid, by distracting you, by making you feel overwhelmed, by telling you it's boring, it's scary, and you're meant to just go to sleep and basically do whatever it tells you to do.
Yeah,
and you're starting this process of waking up and putting it out of business. And it's not eager. It's not excited about that.
Yeah.
And we can understand why, but that doesn't slow us down in our efforts. Hey, call us and tell us how the flight was, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to take a break for a couple of minutes, and then we'll be right back with you. Welcome back. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, the phone lines are still busy here.
That's a good thing on a call-in radio show.
That is a good thing on a call-in radio show. I'd like to welcome Rebecca from Texas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
How are y'all doing?
Well, and you?
Good, good. Thank you. Well, I'm calling because I wanted to talk about this process that I'm just noticing, and I recently did a landmark forum.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing this seminar that goes with it afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they talk a lot about enrolling people in your possibility.
Yes, they do.
And I'm seeing that bringing up all kinds of stuff with me.
Uh-huh.
And I project that it brings up stuff with everybody in the room, but of course that's just my projection.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm seeing is that there is a part of me that really wants to compartmentalize and keep my experiences
compartmentalized. Compartmentalized.
Yeah, and to myself.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the people that I really probably need to enroll in this is my boss, because I'm going to have to commit to this night for 3 months, one night a week for 3 months. And if I told her, you know, this is what I'm committing to and everything, then, you know, I wouldn't have potential conflicts of having to work.
Uh-huh.
And I am just having a heck of a time bringing myself to do that.
And what is it what do you run into? So there you are, you're going to go in tomorrow and say, boss, this is what's going on, and story do you hear?
She's going to think it's stupid.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I mean,
And that you're stupid for doing it.
Yes, by
uh-huh.
association. And not only stupid, but not the person she thought, not the, you know,
Now, this landmark forum is not the first time this sort of thing has come up.
Oh, right, right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it happened with my Zen practice big time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I kept that from my husband for a while, you know. It would be so weird. So it's very, and just all kinds, it's very common.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this is just one more place. So mm-hmm. So you don't really have to believe it.
Right, right. I don't have to believe it. And I get, you know, but I do have to deal with those sensations and all of the stuff that Ingrid was talking about, you know.
Yeah. Now, who is it who believes it, do you know?
Hmm.
You get a sense of how old the person is who thinks that people will think she's stupid for doing this stupid thing?
About third grade, about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very, very old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, old, yes, been around a long time. Not very grown up.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And really, learning how to, that part of me that's learned how to manipulate the situation to where certain people don't, like, I mean, I remember it was in third grade where I really learned how helpful and useful it can be to tell a lie, you know, and how it can get you out of things, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I remember the situation and everything, and it was like, God, this really works.
Well, what a great tool to discover.
Yeah, you can get grown-ups off your back by uh-huh. doing this, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, in a way, it's like, okay, so if I can control the information that people get, then it's going to protect me.
Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you this. What do you like about what you're doing enough that you want to commit one night a week for the next 3 months to this?
Well, it's going to just fly right in the face of that, because it is it's about getting beyond. What I like about it is that it's going to make me a bigger person. It's going to make me more than what I what I believe myself to be now. I mean, it's kind of like living into the person that I know I am, if that makes sense.
And it's going to require you, this is something in your life that's going to require you to show up in that way.
Yeah, if I really do it, yeah.
Okay, and so if you were to explain that to your boss, what do you think her response would be?
Oh, well, see, I did tell her that I went to the Landmark Forum.
But not that. That's like I went to the one-day sale at Macy's.
Well, yeah, okay.
So you're doing something that you feel is going to call you on a regular basis to go beyond the limitations that you've been willing to live with, and that's going to encourage you or require you to live bigger than you've been living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if I put it that way, she would say, well, good.
Uh-huh. And so what do you think stops you from putting it that way? So if I said, Rebecca, I am discovering who I really am. I am seeing all of the ways that what I believed in the past has limited me, and I am gaining tools for going beyond those limiting beliefs and living a bigger life than I really believed possible for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could say, I went to a Scientology meeting.
Yeah. Okay, well, and here are two ways I could respond to the first one. I could say, that is great. I am so happy for you. I can't wait to hear all about what you're learning. Or I could say, uh-huh, well, good luck with that.
Uh-huh.
And see, and that's what I am afraid.
And now, how would that, you know, I don't want to just say, so what, but that's really the question that
yeah.
I have.
Yeah, I guess
so. Now,
is.
If somebody responded in that way, is this somebody whose opinion you would respect?
Yeah, not really, no. I mean, not in that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Now, I could understand you might say, ooh, this could threaten my job.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm working for somebody who's not interested in anything that's expansive or different from what she already knows. Or okay, so this could be threatening to my job, you know, if okay, I can go there. But to be concerned about her opinion,
right?
That would be a stretch for me.
Yeah, and I think it isn't. Yeah, it isn't that. I mean, I can pretty easily get to a place where it's okay. Well, that's whatever she's got going on.
Uh huh.
And that's not. I guess what I'm. Gosh, I guess what you said. The first thing is, I'm already making meaning of what that would mean for my work.
Uh-huh.
If she responded that way, then that would mean that I don't belong here, that she can't, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and I need to quit my job.
Yeah, or before she fires you.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
Before she realizes that I don't fit in here with their philosophy and their, you know. So I've got it all, I've already got it all meaning that, and I've
yes.
said a word, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really good to see. That's, gosh, you know. All roads lead to I've got to quit my job. I mean, that's such a... So
yeah, or all roads lead to I'm not going to be approved of.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I better get out of here before they throw me out.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, people are going to find out something about me, and then it's going to mean this, and then that's going to happen, and so I better control the information they have. So that I can control their thoughts and their reactions so that I can get the outcome that I want.
Yeah.
And, of course, when we step back and look at that, the outcome that I'm really getting is being unsafe, not belonging,
yeah.
needing to be controlled and try to control, manipulating.
And getting that, yeah, and all of that equals getting exactly what the fear is telling me will happen. I'm not in, it is doing, that whole process is doing exactly what it says will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's keeping you locked in a place that it is convincing you, it's saving you from.
Right. By separating myself, I'm believing that I'm keeping myself safe from being separated from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got to love the irony of that,
I
huh?
I know. It is rich, isn't it?
It really is. And it's just astounding how often it can get us to fall for it.
Yeah.
But we do, which is why we need to do awareness practice.
Well, thanks for helping me unpack it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, it was great to have so many people with us today.
It was. It always is, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. I'd like to thank all of our callers and all of our listeners today, and we'll join you again same time next week. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.